I would like to concentrate on the final verses of today's Gospel reading from Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 19. The reading concludes, "Everyone in the crowd sought to touch him because power came forth from him and healed them all." In recent weeks, as Luke's design for the Gospel has Jesus moving up to Jerusalem, we've encountered many occasions in which Jesus heals the sick. Perhaps it's happened to you, but I'm never more alone than when I'm sick. For me, a great part of feeling better has to do with knowing exactly what is wrong, and then taking at least the first steps toward feeling like myself again. But I can also think of some circumstances where the illness doesn't offer a clear path to the restoration of health. Then something more is needed than just my understanding of the nature of the illness and the steps that will lead to healing. I need to face up to my own mortality, my fundamental aloneness. In a society where people think less and less about ultimate things and are prone to lives of busyness and distraction, this can be a most painful moment. Certainly, we want the best medical procedures, but more than this, we want an assurance that touches our deepest fears. Father Albert Nolan, a Dominican from South Africa, in his recent book, Jesus Today, makes the argument that it is really love that heals us. Love reaches across that terrible chasm of our illness, our own incompleteness, and blesses us with the fundamental recognition so that in spite of our illness and agony, we are listened to and valued and blessed. In the most important areas, we are known and held sacred. Nolan gains a further insight on how Jesus employed this healing power when he mentions those passages where Jesus proclaims, "It is your faith that has made you whole." Recently, I visited an old friend, a senior member of my community, in the hospital. He had a serious setback and was having increased difficulty with walking and coping with pain and diminished capacities. And he said to me, "Well, it's time for my therapy." Well, I got up to leave. But the therapist said, no, continue. Go on visiting. There was a chair near the therapy table, and I sat through one doctor's visit and two therapist sessions. Instead of seeing the brokenness of my friend's body, which has become an all-too-familiar sight at home, I was presented with the deeply caring and highly skilled movements of the therapists as they move my friend's limbs with great care and ability. I didn't see the weakness. I saw people with great talent and respect moving the limbs of my friend in gestures that approached the beauty and gracefulness of a fine athlete or a gifted dancer. By guiding impaired limbs in noble postures, they evoke the full sanity and joy of a healthy body. Really, they bless my friend. In our lives as Christians, we're constantly called to be attentive to brokenness. That day, I took a moment to consider how I might not just approach another problem, but I began to imagine some of the forms that healing might take in my small scheme of things. Sometimes reaching out to others with this special attentiveness. Small, but yet not necessarily insignificant, if God is allowed to be there, right at the heart of it.